大家好，祝你快乐。Don't worry, you are in the right place. This is BBC's English service, so you don't have to go away from here. It is the English service. Yeah. Okay. Very good morning to all of you. And in 10 days' time, we will be celebrating Christmas. That's a day that the churches around the world would set aside a day to commemorate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of us will be wondering where the year has gone to. Before we know it, we are almost at the end of it. So the psalmist encourages us in Psalms 90, verse 12. He says, "Teach us to number our days, so that we may have a heart of wisdom." So I hope my prayer is that all of us will know how to use our time wisely and make every day of our lives count for our Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, "Lay up treasures in heaven where no moth or thief can break in and steal." So let us be on guard, especially in the coming year, 2020. That's when we should have perfect vision, isn't it? Perfect vision for the Lord to know what God has in store for us. Let us look forward to the new year with great confidence. I see some signal from our control tower there. They say they have some very urgent message, right?
Jay, Pantech Broadcasting Center's special broadcast journalist covering the Middle East. I bring you the latest breaking news of an extraordinary and unexplainable event that occurred last night in the hill country of Bethlehem. Reliable sources have reported flashes of spectacular light in the night sky, appearing directly over Bethlehem, just above the southern horizon. The bright flashing lights were accompanied by loud, joyful, and mesmerizing choral singing. No light or sound concert has been pre-planned for the area. The genre of music is uncertain, as this type of music has never been heard before. But all who heard it have described it as just heavenly and out of this world. One can only presume that the night sky has been filled with a chorus of rejoicing angels. The people in Bethlehem and the surrounding districts are all astir and excited at the latest happening in their usually quiet and peaceful neighborhood. Furthermore, some humble shepherds have been going around proclaiming that a baby destined for extraordinary greatness has been born in their midst. We are convinced that we are on to some earth-shattering news. Dr. Luke Lucas, our special events broadcaster, has already arrived in Bethlehem and will keep us posted with the latest developments. Stay tuned.
Sorry if the sound system or the sound quality is not so good, because this video clip was recorded 2,000 years ago. And if you think you recognize or you know the person who was broadcasting it, I think it's only an apparition. He couldn't have maintained his good looks for over the 2,000-year gap, right? So nevertheless, if you think you know him, please check with him later. Yeah? So, hi. Okay. So while waiting for the update from Dr. Luke Lucas, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Maybe by then the update would come in, right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the season of Advent. Thank you for giving us this expectancy of your son's coming. We know, Lord, he came 2,000 years ago. But each year, as we come near to this date, we will be all astir and excited again because Jesus came all the way from heaven, left his glory to come here to seek the lost, to seek the sinners, and he has found us. We are grateful, Lord. We thank you. And this morning, Lord, as we look into this passage from Luke chapter 2, We pray that your Spirit will empower us, Lord, to understand the true meaning of your coming and the full implication of your coming on the world and on us as well, Lord. So we commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, good news. Luke has given us his update, and you can find it in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 21. Breaking news is called, yeah? Because this is the time when the angel of the Lord came and announced the greatest news ever heard in the whole history of mankind. It is the most significant event to have happened in the history of mankind. So that is the breaking news we want to look at this morning. We may have heard about it. We could be very familiar with it, but always have a sense of wonder. Why God has to send His Son down to earth. He promised it on the day that Adam and Eve sinned, and He brought people in. And He had sin, and sin separated man from God. And there's no way man can come back. So He promised a Savior, right in Genesis 3 itself. And along the way, God has given us many prophecies about the coming of the Messiah down the centuries until it culminates on the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ some 2,000 years ago. So that is the passage we are going to look into. But before that, let me put it all maybe just to give you the background to it. In Luke chapter 1, first of all, the first part of Luke chapter 1, there was this prophecy about the birth of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was the front runner to announce the coming of the Savior. And then the second part, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 onwards, it was about the birth of our Jesus being foretold to Mary. And this prophecy was made by Isaiah in about 750 BC, before Christ came, in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. He said, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel means God be with us. God is with us. So this was made 750 years before Jesus was born. So when angel Gabriel announced to Mary about the birth of Jesus, of course she was terrified, yeah? Because it's not easy to see a bright figure standing in front of you. It must be very imposing, very fearful. And what the angel Gabriel told her was, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." Phobia, you know, the Greek word is phobia. Phobia, what we now know is phobia, yeah? It's fear. So, I'm not sure at that time whether Mary knew that she was the virgin that was prophesied about by Isaiah some 750 years before. But nevertheless, God is very specific. You see, God, the Bible is full of specific names of places of people so that historical records can verify the accuracy of the Bible. So the Bible is not a myth or a legend that people say, oh, it's something that happened and they cannot verify it through archaeological kind of findings. But the Bible is very specific, and he says, the Savior will be born where? The next one. By Micah. Micah also prophesied at around the same time as Isaiah. That is almost 700 BC. And he says, but you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is the ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. So, Bethlehem, if I were to invent a religion, I would want my religion to be more significant, isn't it? I would want it to have more pomp, more majesty. But here, God is saying, out of Bethlehem, a little rock on the hill, far away, remote area, shall come for me, a ruler. Even in Judah, Bethlehem is considered too insignificant. But God chose the small things. God chose the weak things. God chose the simple things. And Bethlehem is specifically mentioned that out of this little place will come the long-awaited Messiah. That was also 700 years before Christ came. So when Jesus came, he fulfilled, some scholars say, more than 300 prophecies written about him, some hundreds of years before he even appeared. And then now, when angel Gabriel appeared before Mary, she was described as a virgin, in Nazareth. And this is Nazareth, and this is Bethlehem, and Jerusalem is only about 2 or 3 kilometers away. And from Nazareth to Bethlehem is about 150 kilometers journey. And is no walk in the park. But how did a virgin girl who is heavily pregnant in Nazareth find herself in Bethlehem? First, there are two major events that caused it to happen. First, if you read Luke chapter 2, the first few verses, you see it was a law passed by Augustus Caesar, the grandnephew of Julius Caesar. He was the first emperor of Rome. He was the most powerful man at that time. So one fine day, probably in Rome, while he was having his coffee or whatever drinks was popular, he suddenly said, oh, we need to have a census taken for two reasons. One, we want to see how many people there are in that place, what are their occupation, what sort of income, so that we can tax them. We also want to see whether they are strong young men like me to be conscripted into the army. I'm joking, I can't fight anymore. So that is those two reasons. So he passed a law, say, yeah, you must go and register. And because Joseph and Mary were of the house of David, so they had to come down to the city of David, which is Bethlehem. Even though Mary was almost due. The second reason is, I think, more important. Augustus Caesar was ruling, and he passed a law, and everybody had to follow. But the more important and more significant thing is, God is overruling. Because, remember the last slide I showed you? He had to fulfill his prophecy. What God has said, he will fulfill. And he has to fulfill it by bringing the little girl. By bringing that little girl, maybe no more than 14 or 15 years old, Mary, with her husband, Joseph, to come down. And while he was there, Jesus was delivered. It's all in fulfillment. And God worked his plan through human beings, through the rulers. So Augustus Caesar ruled, but God was overruling. So he was over and above. So these two things caused Jesus to be born in the city of David, Bethlehem. Let's move on now to the text. When Jesus is born, a child is born, son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Then now we go to the text. I am using ESV, so if you have other versions, you can refer to it, but if not, you can follow with me on the board here. So in the same region, which region is that? The region basically is in Bethlehem now, right? They were already in Bethlehem. There were shepherds, and shepherds at that time were despised people. They have no standing in society. They were social outcasts. First of all, because being shepherds, they had to spend time 24/7 with their sheep. And in the open, sometimes you don't have enough clean water to wash yourself. So ceremonially, they are always unclean. And because they are unclean, they cannot go to the synagogues to perform their part of the ritual. So they are almost treated as outcasts. And in fact, they are not even allowed to testify in court because they are found to be so unreliable. So they are not even admitted as credible witness. But the greatest news on earth is about to break out. And who should God reveal it to? None other than the humble, despised shepherds. So God chose the simple to shame the wise. He chose the underdog. Paul says, we are not all of royal birth, of noble birth. We are not all rich and powerful. Look around us, we are not in that category. But God has chosen us because we are made strong by the grace of God. Our weakness becomes strength in the grace of the Lord. And they were keeping watch of their flock by night. It was at night. So over there, probably they have a lot of lights in the sky because there was no haze. And like here, a lot of haze. So they can look up there and you can dream dreams. You can look at the stars and, you know, and have a good night's rest. So suddenly, a bright light came. Whoa. It was so bright that the people were astounded, shocked. Why? Because they know that nobody will be able to see God and live. Because God is a holy God and no sinful person can encounter God. But this time, this is not God, but the angel himself. But he came with the glory of the Lord. And it was so bright that it really shocked the poor shepherds. And the shepherds, there at night, they will maybe from different flocks, they will come together, regroup together, so that they can help one another. And then some will take turns to watch, some will go to sleep. If you are the only one taking care of your flocks all the time, then you won't have enough time to sleep or rest. So they will come together, and then in the morning, they will go separate ways. So the only thing that the angel will say is, "Hold, fear not." If he were to be here today, the angel will say, "Msai keng, msai kanchong, man malay." I'm sure the angel can speak better Cantonese than me. But essentially, they will say, "Breathe, don't worry. I'm not here to kill you or to punish you. On the contrary, I bring you what?" He say, "Fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy." That means exceeding joy. I don't mind telling you that I enjoy playing golf, even though I'm not a good golfer. But in my group, we are very affirmative of one another. We always encourage one another. So even if our golf tee shots are not good, we will say, hey, very good, very good. So some will tee off, hey, so-so, you say, hey, best. Then another guy tee off better, then we say, bester. Then the last one will go, ooh, very long and straight, bestest. Wow. Sorry, among us, there are highly educated people, but we sort of, corrupt our English. So sometimes when I come back here, I have to really readjust. But here the angels say, I bring you good news of great joy. Wow, exceeding, bestest news ever. He said, don't worry, I'm going to do it. For unto you today is born in the city of David, Bethlehem, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Savior means Redeemer. In Matthew, we read Gospel that Jesus is here to save the people from their sins. He is going to come and redeem them and deliver them. But of course, at that time, they were looking for a Savior to deliver them out of the bondage of the Roman Empire. But that is not what Jesus came to do yet. First one is to come and be Lord in our hearts. He will come and establish His kingdom later on. Christ is basically a Greek word, Christos, meaning anointed one, or in Hebrew it's called Messiah. They are the same word. Yeah? Messiah, anointed one. So in the Old Testament days, three groups of people are anointed. One is prophets, priests, and king. So Jesus is the anointed one. He is the prophet, priest, and king. He is now a high priest in heaven, seated at the right hand of God, advocating for us. He was a prophet. He foretold many things. He spoke forth of God's word. And he is also our king. Yeah? The Lord is the title given to God. So the angel announced that today, in this hari ini dalam sejarah, specific day, Jesus has already come. The light of the world has come. So next one. Okay. And this will be a sign for you that you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger. So the angel told the poor shepherd, you go out and see. This is what you will see. The baby wrapped up in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger. So it was a usual practice for parents to wrap their newborn babies tightly so that they believe their hands, their legs will grow up straight. Number two, the baby will feel warm and snug as if it is still in the womb of the mother. Yeah? And little babies twitch at night and wake up. So they prevent it from twitching and waking up, so they wrap. So if every of the little newborn babies were to be wrapped in swaddling cloth, how are the shepherds going to find where the baby is? The distinguishing difference is he was lying in a manger. Manger is basically a feeding trough where it can be made of wood or just a big block of stone with a hole dug into it. And that's where baby Jesus lay. Yeah? So it looks like this. But this is a romantic version. It looks nice. Yeah? But it may be full of smell, you know, in the stable. But you can't see it from here. All right? So, and suddenly, there was one angel, and they were already shocked half to death. Then suddenly, a whole army of them came. Wow. You see, this news of the birth of God's Son is so significant, so momentous, that God would not allow just one angel to make the announcement. He brought a whole army of them. And there was great rejoicing. How I wish I was there to listen to them when they sing praises to God. Say, glory to God in the highest. We sang just now, Gloria in Excelsis Deo. Yeah? Glory to God in highest, and peace among those with whom He is pleased. So, I think even now, modern day people, when they have a newborn in their family, they would send out WhatsApp messages, right? Pictures, Instagram, Facebook, and whatever else to announce the birth. So Jesus was the same. Yeah? When He was born, the Father was so proud of Him, He got a whole army of angels to announce His birth. And there was great rejoicing among the shepherds. And then after that, they say, let's go over. After the angels have gone back to heaven, they went with haste. They say, let's go and see them. See what the Lord has told us. So I want to caution you about verse 16. If you read quickly, you may get a different meaning, you see. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. So if you read fast, you may think, oh, Joseph, Mary, and the baby, all three lying in a manger. No. There's a comma here, right? So if you miss a comma, you may think three of them lying in a little manger, and it'll be overcrowded, right? But it's only the baby that is in the manger. And the shepherds must have got some divine help, because they found baby Jesus without problem. So when they saw it, they were so excited, and they started talking about what they have just heard. They declared, they proclaimed, they became the first evangelists ever in the whole world of Christendom. They were the first one to pronounce the birth of our Lord and the coming of the Messiah, the Deliverer. And they said so much that everybody wondered about what the shepherds were talking about. Some might have doubted them, because shepherds were all dirty and like outcasts. They would say, how come shepherds get to hear this news before me? And I am the Dato or the Tan Sri there, you know, of this place, and I never get to hear. And these outcasts get to hear it first. But it was different for Mary. See, Mary's response was different. She treasured up all these things, pondering it in her heart. So Mary was already told by Angel Gabriel 9 months before, she was going to carry the Son of God. Now that the Son has come, and there was nothing, you know, no fanfare, and she was in a manger, there was no room in the inn among dirty animals, and he had to put the baby in a trough. So she must be feeling a bit deflated, isn't it? But then when the angels came and pronounced to them that this is indeed the Savior of the world, so she treasured up all these things. And there are many more places where she treasured up all these things. When Jesus was 12 years old, he was lost because he stayed back in the temple while they had already gone home. And then after one day's journey, they went back. They asked him, why do you do this to her? Jesus said, don't you know that I have to be at my Father's house? And Mary pondered this thing in her heart. There are many. So let's move on. And the shepherds returned home glorifying and praising God because they have been truly transformed. When you meet the Savior Himself, you'll never ever be the same again. And that's what happened to the shepherds. They were jumping for joy. They were glorifying God. And they were praising God. And verse 21 is at the end of the 8 days when Jesus was circumcised. He was called Jesus. Jesus meaning Jehovah is salvation. So He is God in the form of the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. And He was circumcised on the 8th day. It was in the law of Moses that every male child should be circumcised on the 8th day, because medical sciences have proved that 8th day on the eighth day, the baby's blood clotting rate is the highest. Not before that, and not after the eighth day. So God is very wise. He said they must be circumcised on the eighth day. And Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day because he was born under the law and he had to fulfill all laws. So Jesus didn't come to abolish any law, but he came to fulfill all the laws so that some of those laws do not have to be observed by us anymore, like the ceremonial laws or the dietary laws of the Jews in the past. So his name was given Jesus, and that was the name that Gabriel told Mary that the child should be named. And he was named Jesus. So now, we go on. What can we learn? What can we learn from the shepherd? There are a few things that we can learn. One, they heard the good news of the birth of the Lord. They heard. They were attentive. They were not sleeping. Even though they were frightened, but yet they hung on to every word that the angel told them. And not only that, after the angel told them and when they heard them singing and praising and after they left, they obeyed. They went to see. They went with haste. They didn't give any excuses. They didn't say, oh, it's so dark. If we go, how are we going to find the baby? Or we may trip and fall and break our legs and we jeopardize our occupation. Or there may be snakes around. It may bite us. So there are so many excuses they can do. Can give, but they went with haste. So they obeyed immediately. They went to see what the angel had told them. And when they saw the baby, they started proclaiming the message that they have received from the angel. They were the ones to evangelize all who would care to hear at that point in time. And then when they came back, they were praising God, jumping for joy, exalting God. H-O-P-E, hope. And the good news, brothers and sisters, is hope has already come. Hope has already come. So Jesus has come to give man hope because we were all without hope. We were sinners, we were outside of God's will, and condemned. But God loves us so much, He wants us to come back to Him. And the only way He can reconcile us back to Him is none other than to send His Son Jesus to die in our place. Because He loves us so much, He doesn't want us to die and be lost forever. That's why He sent His Son Jesus. And when Jesus comes, He said He will give peace. He says, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, but my true peace. A lot of us do not have the peace of God. Because if we do not have peace of God, or we are still in enmity, we are still fighting with God, there can't be true peace in our life. So I'm speaking to some people here who may not have made peace with God. We have heard the good news many times, and yet you have not made the decision to say, yes, Lord, I don't want to be your enemy anymore. Today, I want to drop my weapons, drop my arms, and surrender to you, because you are the only one who can give me true peace. This is the day. This is the acceptable day. So later on, you can come down and talk to any of their leaders about how you can make peace with God. Because without making peace with God, you can never have true, lasting peace. And when you don't have peace with God, you don't have peace with your own self. Because you'll be always beating yourself up You may have done something stupid or foolish in the past, and you can never forgive yourself. You say, how stupid I was. I cannot believe it. And you say, I don't think God can forgive me. Then you keep beating yourself up. If you don't have peace with God, that is the thing, that is the result. You don't have peace with yourself. And when you don't have peace with yourself, it's difficult to have peace with other people because you have a lot of trouble inside you. And you are always agitated. Your tempers are short. You are impatient with people. And you want to lash out. So most of the time, when you don't have peace with God, you don't have peace with yourself. And then it is difficult or impossible to have peace with others. So you always go back to God. Because God designed us. He designed us with a vacuum in our heart that only He can fill. If that vacuum is not filled up, we will still be always ever searching for satisfaction, for love, for all sorts of things that we think will satisfy us, will give us final peace. But the secret, my dear brother and sister, is to have Jesus in your heart. Is a peace with all who, on whom His favor rests. So we can only have His favor when we have down our arms and be His children. Then He will come and give us peace. So we have hope. So now, my brothers and sisters, those of us who have already have peace in our heart, who know Jesus as our Savior, please go out, spread the good news to other people. Give them hope, to the hopeless especially, to the lonely, to those who are underprivileged, who do not belong. There are many of those people. Touch them. The light, you can see the candle. I brought a candle in my bag just now, I thought. But I saw the candle in front. So that can resemble the light of the world. Who is the light of the world? Jesus Himself. The light of the world has come, my dear brothers and sisters. And the Bible says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It will never overcome the bright light that Jesus has shone. What do we do now? We just bring our own candle, go light up the candle, go light up the world. You remember that song? Go light your world. Was that the song you sang in the camp recently? Can you remember that? The beautiful lyrics. Let me just read quickly to you what it means, the chorus. Carry your candle, run to the darkness. Seek out the helpless, confused, and torn. And hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle, go light your world. So would you do so, brother and sister? This is a good time. Invite your friends to come for Christmas. Listen to the good news. Or in your own personal capacity, shine the light in places of darkness. That would be how we can glorify God. Jesus left all His glory to come to be with us. Now, what can we do in return? We shine His light. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and give glory to God in heaven. Would you do so? Join me in doing that in this coming Christmas season. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that Jesus came. He didn't have to come. And He didn't have, even if He came, He didn't have to go to the cross because He was without sin. And the penalty of sin was not upon Him. But yet, Lord, the salvation plan that You made before the foundation of the world has Jesus as the actor, as the one who will come to die in our place. And he went to the cross willingly at great cost himself. He died. But we thank the Lord that he was buried and on the third day he rose again, showing that he is indeed God. He has conquered sin and death. And all those who believe in Jesus can now have the power to become his children. We thank you, Lord, for the hope that you have placed in each one of us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And may we now, Lord, in appreciation of what you have done for us, go out and share your peace, share your hope, share your love, share your joy with people in the coming days for this Christmas and beyond into year 2020. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing, for your presence among us. May you receive all glory and honor. Amen.
Let's honor our eyes for the closing song.